Together with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Ammo 98 over Zoom video. So Ammo was born in San Francisco, but moved to Maryland at a very early age. He was 2 years old when he got to Maryland, but he got into music from his father when he'd drive him to school listening to N.W.A. and Tupac and all these dope rappers, which led him to start writing poetry around 8 years old. He talks about recording in the studio for the first time at 14 years old, moving to Scotland to attend culinary school, but always wanting to be a musician. He told us about moving to Los Angeles from Scotland, getting a manager, and how he threw his record release party the day before the world shut down. He's talked about how quarantine and COVID have affected his record and his new music video that just came out for the song Blue. You can watch the interview with Ammo and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Ammo 98. Our podcast is about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for whatever.
Right on, dude. So I did read you were born in San Francisco.
Yep.
How long were you there for?
It's crazy, though. So I was born in San Francisco, like in 1998, obviously. That's where the 98 comes out of Ammo. And I was only there for like 2 years, bro, like a baby. And then.
Oh, sure.
My parents like moved to Maryland, where I'm at right now. And it's on the Eastern Shore, small place. And then I moved to Scotland with my brother and then LA. And that like changed my life. Scotland and LA, like completely. I rep LA and I rep Maryland. Uh-huh. But like the UK was a big influence on me and like my lifestyle, my perspective on life.
Oh, amazing. Well, how did you get into music?
How'd I get into it?
Yeah.
So I have a white father from San Francisco, born and raised, and my mom's from the Caribbean, and she moved to like Africa and London, then America. So, wow. I grew up on a lot of dancehall, calypso, reggae, house parties, full of people, more Caribbean music and world music. And then, my dad showed me kind of like Tupac, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, N.W.A. when we were riding to school in the morning. And I was like, oh shit. Oh,
that's dope. Yeah. Riding to school. That's rad.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, like he's a philosopher, my dad. So like, it's crazy. Cause he's bumping like N.W.A. and he's like, bro, I used to hang out here and do this in Palo Alto and this and that. And I'm like, yo, yeah, like, shit, you know, that's crazy. And my mom, you know, would show me dancehall music, you know, and like, you know, Barrington Levy and all those people. And then I got into Vibes Cartel and Alkaline and, you know, it started to progress there. And I started writing poetry like 8 years old, probably 8 years old.
Wow.
And stuff. Yeah.
What part of San Francisco you said Palo Alto? That's pretty far south down there.
Yeah. So he was from the city, obviously, but my grandmother then later, you know, they moved to like Palo Alto and all that. So, but
right. Okay. I've lived up there for a handful of years. So I was just curious. That's cool.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'm in San Diego now. So always California kid.
That where you're from?
Right on. Yeah. San Diego. And then I lived in San Francisco for 5 years doing radio there and came back, back down to San Diego.
The most beautiful city, bro.
Oh, it's dope. Yeah. Well, that's rad. Okay. So you moved to Maryland at 2 and your dad's driving to school. Listen, you're listening to Tupac and N.W.A. That's freaking awesome. So the writing started, you said, at 8, poetry.
Yeah. 8 years old. And then, so I say like 8 years old, I was like writing a little poetry, obviously not knowing what the heck I'm doing.
You don't
know,
like, all
right. So what the fuck I'm doing, and, you know, it started to become this thing of like, obviously like alternative was coming. Lil Wayne was blowing up, all these things. I have an older brother, 2 years older than me, and an older sister, 4 years older than me. So they're putting me on all this hip hop, all this new game that I don't have access to. Cause I'm just, you know, a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I listened to Lil Wayne and I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like every other word's a punchline. It makes sense. I can relate to some of this stuff. And, I was listening to like Ice Cube and Snoop at the same time and Dre and M. And I was like, okay, like I like storytelling. I have a lot of like weird emotional things. I wasn't really knowing what was going on. Like every kid. So I tried to like write about me and it became poetry, and poetry became you know, my brother started doing a little hip hop as like freshman year of high school, but I wasn't with him. He went to boarding school, right? So we had that space. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I really fuck with this. Like, I really want to do this so badly. And it makes me feel like therapy. So I was like, I'm going to do it. And then at like 13, 14, I really started going to studios, recording, meeting people, and just nonstop writing. I mean, 12 hours a day, not doing homework, not doing anything except writing music in the living room.
Wow. Yeah. You're going to studios that young, huh? Like, how did you get those? How'd you make those contacts?
It's funny, right? So my sister had a boyfriend who was like drug dealer-ish vibes, you know, like this kid out of this small town, bro. It's like the ghetto and like rednecks and rich people. And it's all bunched in this tiny population of like 3,000 people. So tiny. Everyone knows everyone. So she's dating this guy, nice kid, all that, but you know, grew up a certain way. And his friends were recording, and I became friends with his little brother. And they're like, yo, we're going to the studio. They're a little older than me. And I went into this, I was big on freestyling at lunch, big on freestyle. I could freestyle for 2 hours straight. That was like,
oh my gosh, that's huge.
I swear. And so before I started writing, and I like writing. And so I go in the studio, I'm just chilling there. They're drinking their lean, they're smoking, they're getting all fucked up, whatever, popping pills. And I'm like 13, 14, I say like 14. And I'm like, shit, like, damn, like this is kind of cool. Like, I've never really been in a studio. I don't really know how it works. And they're like, yo, Ammo, my name was Cali back then, cause I was born in California. So they called me Cali. Okay. Uh-huh. And they're like, yo, Cali, jump in real quick. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no, bro, like, that's not my vibe. And they're like, bro, jump in and just freestyle. Like, just freestyle. I was like, all right. So I freestyled this verse and I dropped it on SoundCloud. And I put like this kid Palmer Boy and another kid on there that I knew. And it got like 15,000 views, like the first 2 weeks.
Whoa, that's huge.
And I was like, oh, I like this feeling. I like the mm-hmm. feeling of like people like believing in me and believing in myself. Cause like self-confidence and all that. And it became music's cool to do and it feels good to, I've been through a lot of pain, drug abuse, you know, gang culture to, you know, private school, getting kicked out, a lot of problems, living alone at 17 and never lived with anyone since then, like being alone. So I put all those things into, you know, I like Kendrick Lamar was my favorite artist growing up, still is.
Oh yeah, he's dope.
Yeah. And he was dropping mixtapes when I was young. And I was actually one of those people when he had like 2000, like I really followed Kendrick and Cole. Like
wow.
I really followed him. So I just kind of felt this vibe of like music is deeper than just talking about what you do. It's like why you do it, how you do it, and the words you use to express it. Cause anyone could say, and I'm not taking shots at anyone or music or anything, but anybody could say like, I'm out here gangbanging and I'm out here drinking. I'm out here doing this. Or, oh, I got my heart broken by a girl and shorty this.
Right.
But it's how you say it with punchlines or with a story and a meaning behind it that actually gives passion and longevity to your music. And I feel like a lot of people my age aren't really doing that, but I think it's really important. And I wouldn't want music any other way, but expression and relation.
Sure. It's just a clever way of saying those things or more like more instead of just being like you just said, like, so, you know, forefront with it. You're doing it in a different way.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I love that. So you were in the studio that young though, 14, 15, you put that song up.
Yeah.
Then what you said you went to Scotland and that kind of changed it for you. Like, how'd you get to Scotland? What took you there? And what was in Scotland that really made it, you know, made
so,
more?
So my brother went to boarding school, then went to Edinburgh University of Scotland in the city of Edinburgh.
Wow.
And he's super smart. He just graduated from Oxford this year. So shout out to him.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Very smart.
Philosophy degree. And so, you know, I always looked up to him, obviously. He's like my best friend. And he always understood me when I was going through shit. I was lost out of high school. I got kicked out of a private school, went to a public, stopped doing sports, stopped doing everything, and was just focused on music. And he always pushed me and believed me. And he's like, bro, if you want to be an artist, like, you got to write. You got to be better than these people. You have to put your time in it, da, 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 da. So the Scotland thing, I didn't have anything to do after high school. I didn't want to be stuck in Maryland, and I didn't want to move back to California not knowing what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
So my dad was like, yo, like, why don't you just go to Scotland? Like, go get an apartment, go figure it out. and with your cousin, my cousin who went to, you know, CIA, which is a Culinary Institute of America in like New York and all that. And he was 2 years older than me, my brother's age. So I went to Scotland and my brother's going to University of Edinburgh. I'm doing culinary school like a 9 to 5.
I did read that you're in culinary school. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just curious. Like, were you always like into cooking or was that a thing that you did?
Yeah, my mom makes everything from scratch. Everything, like African food, Caribbean food, American food. And she's actually like the best cook. I've eaten at Michelin star restaurants all over the world. France, Spain, I've been everywhere and eaten. My mom, and everyone says, oh, my mom makes the best food. Bro, I would not be cooking if it wasn't for my mom and my grandmother. And I would not know how much work goes into good food. Hours, sometimes days.
Preparation. Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, my wife, or I'm actually at my in-laws' house right now. We're moving. My wife's mom's Filipino, and she's like that, everything from scratch. And, you know, like if she's making food, it's like all an all-day thing.
That's how it has to be to taste good, man, because that's vibe. So I went to Scotland Culinary Institute, of like the new town Culinary Institute, Edinburgh, you know. Uh-huh. I wasn't super like serious about it at the time. I was 18 in Europe with doing whatever I wanted, almost like I was free from 9 to 5. I was busy, and then I had weekends off and did whatever I want. So yeah, that's when I have alcoholism in my family, all that shit.
Same here, man. I've been drinking like 4 years.
Yeah. And I'm legally able at 18, right? I'm legally there.
Yeah.
When I am. So I go there, I go to the 9 to 5. We take the food home so we don't have to pay for food and waste money on food. But that money went towards partying, alcohol. Right,
of course.
And all that.
You got to weigh your, what's important, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I had to get my priorities straight, but,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Priorities.
So but being with my brother, so that's the part that changed me, is being with my brother was a whole different thing than culinary school. Culinary school taught me discipline, showing up, doing things, structure. Mm-hmm. My brother taught me the proper way, how friendships work, which I had terrible friends. They're either drug dealers, gangbangers, or doing something stupid. Sure. And it was my choice, because everything's a choice, you know? So that was what I was in. And when I moved to Europe, I kind of reconnected with my brother, and he was like, look, all these kids are university children. All these kids are from different places in the world, all over the world. And the way they socialize, the way that they drink, the way that they do everything is completely different than what we do here. Here we binge drink, we party. The college kids just care about business degrees, whatever, and get fucked up. There, they socialize, they learn, they understand, they know about politics. They care about each other, which was weird to me, because I didn't really get that, but they cared about each other. They were actually friends that were there for each other and would be there on our phone call. And I saw that and I was like, that's what I want. That's kind of what I want in my life. And when I moved back after a year being there, you know, I stayed in London for a bit too, for like 3 months, was like a little bit, like, cause my parents were living there. I came back and I was like, okay, let me do this music thing. Let me go back to California. And I got involved in the same cycle almost. Oh. So I was like, I got good friends, I did this. And then, you know, the same thing happened where I ended up getting into bad things. But my music progressed way more. And my understanding of how hard you have to work as an artist progressed 80 times, where I was like, shit, every other fucking Uber driver, every other person I meet out is an artist, is an actor, is somebody, right? They want to be somebody. I never want to be somebody thing. I always wanted to help and put my music out there. So I was like, cool, fuck. They're posting on Instagram every day. I need to do that. I need to make it look professional. I need to do that. Okay, if I don't have the budget, let me figure this out. I have favors. I know people owe me things. I know I could work with things. So, and I present myself in a room very differently than other artists too. So I don't walk in and I'm like, yo, man, that was good. There's a time and place for everything. That's how I am. But like, there's a time and place for everything. Is like, if I don't want to walk into a certain room where people think that aren't from there, or understand me in that way, they get scared off or don't understand. So I try to be as true to myself, but at the same time, make another person comfortable and understanding of like where I'm coming from and what I want, and that I'm serious about what I want.
I love that. That's so, once you got to Los Angeles, were you trying to get in the studio and cut more songs? Like, where did your music career continue?
I moved to downtown LA. I moved to downtown LA about 6 years ago. And so I had a manager who was, you know, working with other big artists and things and helping me out. And it was like kind of like a vibe thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was knocking out 5 to 8 songs a week, probably
for 2 years.
And I hit 1,000 songs like in like a year and a half. Like I just had thousands of songs. So
sure.
That was what I was doing. And I kept asking him, like, I didn't know how the whole music thing worked. So, cause I didn't get it. Like, I was like, why aren't we dropping? Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we?
Right. Exactly. It's ready. Let's do this.
Right. And he's like, you need to grow. You need to write. You need to understand it's a process. You need to stack up on content. So you always have some and take your time with releases and promotion. And I was still just on go, randomly dropping a song on SoundCloud because he said I couldn't, doing stupid stuff like that.
Oh, I can't. Oh, I'll show you.
Yeah, no, dead ass. Like for sure. Like he would be like, yeah, we're not dropping that. And I'm like, yo, it's already out. I don't know what to do. We might as well promote it. Like, I don't know.
Whoops.
And they're like, how, why? I just told you not to. I'm like, well, my friend liked it. And he was on the SoundCloud. And he accidentally made it public. You know, like I just lied.
You're right. Of course. Whoops.
But that didn't work out though. That situation didn't work out. I did some cool things. The song Blue, I recorded with that manager's team with the artists from QC. So shout out to like Jordan Hollywood and Skip on the Beat and Haji and all those guys, and QC the label. But, I learned more than anything the first 2 years in LA. Drinking wasn't really working out for me all the time, but I was still doing it. My mind state of being isolated and constantly working and trusting everybody, not fucking cool. And my circle and how I carried my life and how I treated other people wasn't cool because I was focused on me. And I realized that with a little growth in time. So knocking out songs. So yeah, I was knocking out songs. And then I got into some beef with some people I shouldn't have gotten in beef with because of my affiliation, other people's affiliations, which I'm not with. Like it was just sort of like friendship groups, like had to recalibrate, started fresh. I needed a fresh headspace. Me and my sister moved together into a house in North Hollywood and it was vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like I had a studio in my bedroom. I could record what I wanted. I had engineers coming through. I had a cool videographer. Dope stuff, man. Like I was ready, excited, boom, bumping out records every week. Da, 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 da. I need a manager though. What am I doing? I don't know anyone. I know a couple people, you know, but not that are actually going to help. So I get a new manager, who was kind of like shady almost, you know, a little weird. And he did some things that were big in the past and like did some things, but the intentions of doing things like, oh, we needed to go viral. We need to do this. And like, he wanted that 15 minutes of fame vibe. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the rush. I didn't like, like promises that kept be giving to me were given to me. And like, there was never a follow through. Mm-hmm. So I did 2 years of that losing money, honestly, like 2 years of losing serious money, 2 years of heartbreak of like, oh my God, I could have done all this myself. And so I ended up doing my own EP release party, which is where I met this guy, Stefan. And like, yeah. And so then that was March, literally last year, March, I dropped
right before everything stopped.
The day my stuff dropped. Yeah. Right before everything stopped. Yes.
So Atheist Angel came out March, what, right that day that everything got closed?
The day after everything locked down. The day after.
Oh my gosh. I was going to ask you where you were during lockdown. It sounds like you were having a release party the day and then the next day. It's like, well, now what?
Exactly.
How did that affect you?
Terribly. I had so much promotion and money and everything put into this thing that was like my baby, years of work. The song Blue, a lot of these songs, like they were written 4 or 5 years ago. And I haven't released a song in 3 or 4 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of songs. And I'm like, I'm so obsessed with my new work. I want to show the world my new stuff. And people are like, they don't even know that you have this old stuff that's new to them. That's really dope.
Right, so right.
Kind of what Atheist Angel is, was my life of, you know, melodic records and like my musical growth and those things. And then the other side was hip hop and my main type of music, Atheist Angel, good and bad vibes. And it's a dual-sided EP. So Heaven Earth, kind of like melodic.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. I didn't realize that there was a, I just thought it was a creative name. Like I'm like, Atheist yeah. Angel. That's
no, my, yeah, my, cool. this is probably going to get bad press. My dad's an atheist. So like,
oh, interesting. Yeah,
I'm not, but you know, it's just, it became this thing. And it was weird because my mom's super religious.
Both worlds. That's really interesting.
Right. And just being mixed too. That's why I have the black wing and the white wing on the cover is being mixed.
You know? Oh yeah.
So I should have a black and white wing. I don't know if they edited that out there.
No, wrong. They did. I think it's just the album cover is smaller than I thought.
Right.
I want to see here.
I should. And I have horns and a halo. So it's all contradicting each other.
That's cool. That's really creative artwork too. Wow. So that record just came. I mean, it came out, the world was locked down, and then what do? You just, have you been just writing, you know, writing since the door slammed shut, or what's going on?
Like, so it's crazy. So we go to quarantine, right? I'm in a situation in my life where I'm not even like home, but I'm in LA. Right. And, so this girl and my sister were at my house pretty much. And, you know, we all moved back here to Maryland to quarantine together. Oh. Like right when everything dropped, right when everything mm-hmm. was great and everything, but quarantine just starts to take a toll. So we got all the studio equipment here. I have a mic here, speakers, and my laptop and everything. So we started learning how to engineer ourselves and making do with what we have, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing a lot for sure. I prefer to work with an engineer, but I've been writing a lot and constantly working. So I have so much stuff in the safe though. So it's like, I was prepared for quarantine that I'm ready to start dropping. I have like, I can't say the number, but a lot of music videos this year that I'm just dropping monthly.
Oh, by month. Amazing. Yeah.
So
were you able to put some of those together during quarantine, or was that all stuff that you already had previously shot?
Yeah, no, we did. I flew my videographer out from Long Beach. Shout out to Long Beach, because that's also like hometown vibes. Like that's a place that changed my entire perspective on life too. He flew out from Long Beach, came down here with my girlfriend and I, and we shot the video that me and her did. Her name is Josephina. She's a dope artist. She writes. She's also a songwriter for a lot of artists that people love. So I'm not going to say what or put her business out there, but she's dope.
Oh, and, cool. Yeah. She's on featured on one of your songs too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the record. First song cool.
We ever made together. So
really, how is that working with your girlfriend? Did you guys clash at all?
No. So I got nervous in front of her actually. Cause her voice is so like unique and beautiful. And I was just like, damn, like that's really something. Like that's really like crazy. Like I wish I could do that. And then I was like, wait, I can do that. And so the first record, Real Love, I feel like we could make 80 songs together that are 80 times better than Real Love, because we have a vibe for each other now and we sense it. But Real Love itself was just kind of like we were playing beats in my living room while we were all like chilling and vibing like way before quarantine, and she just walked in and started singing like, "Real love, what I need, tell me how you feel," and I was like, oh, okay, like vibe. And so the next day I put verses on it, and then we just worked back and forth, and then so then we shot the video here in Maryland in the middle of the country, and it was actually really good vibes. Everything was green, pool, beautiful. So we just made it like a super vibed out love story music video. And then we did the video for Entertain Me, which was more like aquatic, like on docks and boats and underwater scenes and effects and stuff. So yeah, we definitely shot some on quarantine, and they're definitely some of the best works we've ever done.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was wondering if it would become, you were able to fly your videographer out, which is great. Cause I was curious if like, you know, the lockdown and shutdowns, how that would affect you as far as like COVID testing everybody, but it sounds like you had a smaller crew of people that were working with you.
Yeah. 100%, 100%, very tight. I pretty much just cut out my circle pretty much. I realized who needed to be there and who didn't, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I know that sometimes you have to just make that decision, you know, to kind of, are these people going to benefit me in the long run, or am I just going to be like, are they doing what I want to be doing, or do I want to be up here and leave them down there?
So they walk for themselves, you know. I feel like a lot of people hang around and think that because you're cool, what you do is theirs, and everyone already had this conversation on every interview, so I don't even need to go into it. But you know, just stragglers and stuff. You don't need them, you know.
Right, sure, sure.
People will prove your friendship if they show up for you, you know, and a lot of people don't show up, and that's just, you know, one and done.
Right, for sure. Well, so you got a lot of stuff coming out. I'm sure, did you have like any tours or anything planned as far as live music or live shows that got shut down?
I was, I opened up for DaBaby, Meg Thee Stallion, and Meek Mill.
Wow. Where was that? That's insane.
Winterfest, Baltimore, Maryland, December
oh my gosh.
14th last year. And I was like, finally, we're doing something. Let's get it moving. And then I planned all these other shows to book and like do like a mini tour on my own and all these things. And just a bunch of live performances all over the West Coast and East and South, whatever, colleges. And it all got quarantined. And then everything fell apart. And I was like, oh God, what am I gonna do? How do artists make money? What are we doing here? And then it kind of picked back up in the sense of like, I'm patient. I needed this quarantine time to think about what my next plan was. I started to rush music and just kind of make music and didn't get bored of it, but lost my why. I lost my reason why I was doing music for sure. Cause I was influenced by, I had people around me, street rappers, pop stars, this stuff, pop artists, you know, all different types of genres. And it just confused me where they're like, I'm trying to get on the radio and I'm just talking to the streets and I want to do this. And I was like, I don't care. I don't really like, and I would start making music like that. So I'd start dumbing down my music or overcompensating with lyrics. And I like the in-between, like the J. Cole Kendricks or, and even like a little bit, like Vince Staples and you know, like West Side Boogie and stuff like that, where it's real, it's true, it's street, it's collegey, it's intellectual and deep, but it's also anyone could listen to it. I don't like putting a box of like, well, this is my radio record and my trap record. It's like, well, I just felt this vibe in the moment and I made this and I leave it to the people to decide what they think of it.
I love that, man. That's really awesome. And congratulations on having the record out. I mean, it's you got it like right under the wire before that. So at least you got a chance to have that party and everything. I have one more question for you too, by the way. I'm curious what if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Okay, without sounding cheesy or cliche or whatever. Honestly, there's no formula for blowing up. There's no formula for how to make a good song or anything. And you just need to be realistic with yourself. I feel like we all think we're the shit and you should at a certain point, once you have earned that recognition. I feel like all these big artists are telling you can do anything you can. You're going to blow up. Just, you know, just drop, just stop listening to that. Stop, just stop. You're at your own pace. Jay-Z didn't blow up until his 30s and A Boogie blew up at 17 and Kodak Black blew up at 17. You're on your own pace. There's no race. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Make music that is true to you in the sense of if there was nobody around, would you put that song on and listen to it if nobody was around you and nobody knew you listened to it? That's my only advice. And that's it.